Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have an opportunity to come together and learn another portion of God's Word. I'm encouraged by our coming together and singing and already having an opportunity this morning to study God's Word. If you can be in our Bible classes, I would encourage you to do that. And to be able to come together and spend some time on the first day of the week is very encouraging. And I hope that our message this morning will also encourage us. The song that we sang right before the contribution, "Oh, to be like Thee," goes well with our message today. To be like God. And when we are like God, and we follow His example, then we can be an example to those around us. Brethren, I want us to think about our role here in Clarksville and Montgomery County. Our role is not just simply to come here and worship. That is a main part. There's no question about that. But our role in Clarksville and Montgomery County is to be a model for those in the community. If they were to come inside the building, they would see a model that they need to follow. But even outside the building, in our associations with people, at work and school and at the store and our neighbors, we are supposed to be a model to others around us. When we think of role models in the Bible, we need to think of two areas. First of all, we need to think of the area of looking at God, following His example. Oh, to be like Thee. We need to be God-like. We need to be Christ-like. We need to be like the Holy Spirit. We need to have His words in us and bear His fruit. So we look to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as our model. But we are supposed to be models also. We should be able to look to brethren. We should be able to look to local churches for our example. And as members of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, are we really the model that we need to be? I want us to be that model church. And it takes all of us. It takes every one of us to really make this happen. Not just a few, not just the elders, not just a few of the members, but all of us, each and every one of us. And if there's something this morning where we need to improve and grow and get better, let's do that so that we can be that model. I think sometimes we forget that people are watching us as a congregation. And I don't mean by just driving by the building and seeing the sign, but if you've been in a community for a long time, the reputation gets out and the word gets out and people know that you work at such and such place and that you're a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. And so it's either a good model or a bad model. We can be that model. We must be. And to learn how to do that this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I want us to learn this morning how that we can be that model church, because when we turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to see the church at Thessalonica, we're going to see that Paul describes them as a model church, and here's the point, we're going to see what they did to become that. And when we do the same thing, we can be the same model church. We don't exist simply for our benefit. That is a big benefit. For us to be able to come and worship God, that's a big benefit. But we exist as a benefit to be a light to this community. Let us be that model church. We cannot control what goes on in other churches in town, and our elders do not have authority to watch over other kinds of things. I don't know what all goes on in other places. I don't know what goes on in the other churches of Christ in town. I know some things, but I don't know everything. That's really not my business in a sense. We're all autonomous. We're all self-governing. We just simply worry about ourselves. But we need to be that model even if other people are not. But how do we go about doing that? It's not guesswork. We know. We're given in Scripture. And so this morning, I want us to look sort of in a survey fashion of 1 Thessalonians. We're told that they were a model church. Let's look at the five chapters and see what it was that they were doing and how it was that they were that model church. What were they saying and doing? What was their thinking and their relationship with God that made them a model church? And when we answer those questions, then we can find out what we need to be here at Warfield Boulevard. We need to be a model to others. And we're going to learn this morning how to do that. And it's very simple. It's very simple. It's not complicated. When every aspect of our life completely revolves around God, then we will be a model church. And the reason I say that is this. What we're going to find this morning, brethren and friends, is this. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to see seven different areas of their life, and every one of them revolves around God. When your life and mine, and when the congregation, and when the elders have this in mind, and we have this in mind, when everybody has this in mind, that every aspect of our life, from the beginning of the spiritual journey all the way to the end, when every aspect of it revolves around God, then we will be a model church. It's not that difficult. It's not some secret, mystical thing that Chris has to unpack, and it's kind of a secretive thing, and he's going to unpack that. It's just very basic. We already know it. Our relationship has to revolve around God. But not just some of us, not just most of us, all of us. And when that is the case, we will be a model church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, when Paul had left Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, he had gone there and established the church. And a few years later, he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians to them. When he writes to them in chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia." Your version might say example or pattern. Some versions say model. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And you know what? When you start reading 1 Thessalonians, you're going to see what it was that they did to become that. The rest of the chapters are going to tell us that. And what you're going to find is, and if you make notes in your Bible, I want you to underscore how many times something about them and God is mentioned. That lets us know how they became that model. So let's begin that journey this morning. The beginning of their spiritual journey all the way to the end focuses on their relationship to God. In chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, I want you to notice three statements that Paul makes that shows that they were a model. After the typical greeting in chapter 1, verse 1, and his prayer for them starting in verse 2, come down to verse 6, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." When Paul came there in Acts 17, there was much persecution in the beginning of the church. Verse 7, "So that you became an ensample or example to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia." Number one, you became a model. Verse 8, "For from you hath sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia." So number one, they became a model. The second expression he uses is that from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord. We just got through singing, "Salvation has been brought down," and "Go preach to, you know, all creatures and all nations and preach the word." They were sounding forth the word of the Lord, and we need to be doing that. And then look at the third thing that he says, "But in every place, your faith to Godward is gone forth, so that we need not speak anything." You are a model. Number two, the word of the Lord came from you. You sounded forth the word of the Lord. And number three, in every place, your faith to Godward has gone forth. And we're going to come back to that Godward part in just a minute, toward God. So they were a model. There's no question about that. You became, one version says, a model to all the believers. Well, what did they do? We need to ask the question. If we read in verse 7 and 8, that they were a model, we need to immediately ask ourselves, okay, what did they do to become that? Why were they that? How were they that? And what we're going to find this morning is that every aspect of their relationship revolved around God. That's the short of it. When our life begins and continues and ends with God at the center, not us, not our feelings, what we think and feel, not the worldly example, but when God controls every aspect of my decisions, my choices, my beliefs, my actions, then we become a model to all that believe in Clarksville and Montgomery County and Middle Tennessee and even beyond. And yes, churches have reputations. Do we not know about the seven churches of Asia? And Jesus said that if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. A candlestick is what puts off light. A local church is to be putting off light. We're to be a model. We're to be putting off light. Not only in Clarksville and Montgomery County, but Middle Tennessee and all of Tennessee and all of the United States and around the world. We want to be known. Warfield Boulevard, that's the congregation that is this, and this. And they're a model in their evangelism, both local and foreign. And they're a model in their benevolence. They help needy brethren when that comes up. And they're a model in their teaching. And what the elders want and demand and where they're guiding us, they're a model to look to uphold. Because frankly, brethren have reputations, and we can be a congregation like Sardis that has a name that is living, but it's really dead, just sort of keeping house. Or we can have another reputation, such as Thessalonica, that we're a model. So this morning, let's explore that. Let's look at these seven areas of their life from beginning to end. And it starts, turn with me to chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17 and he began to preach the gospel. In chapter 2, three different times in 1 Thessalonians 2, he mentions that I came and I preached the gospel of God. And when he got there and began preaching, the text says, or Paul says, verse 13, when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It started with them accepting the message as God's word. And brethren, that's how it begins. That's how we begin. Anytime there is a message, we accept it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That's how you become a model church. Not a church filled with man's words and opinions and what we think and feel about the Bible, but the Bible is the very word of God, the very inspired word of God. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales and fables. The Bible is not some book of just man-made thoughts. But this is the very word of God, and that's how we're going to accept it and receive it every time it is read or preached from or taught. That's how you become a model church. Oh, there are churches in Clarksville and other places where the Bible is mentioned, but it's not accepted as the very word of God. A lot of times you'll talk to various ones in different kinds of denominations and things, and it's even creeping into the Lord's church, where some will have this attitude, yes, Paul said that, but, yeah, there's always a but, yeah, Paul said that about husbands and wives or women in the church, but, you see, yes, he said that about homosexuality, but, you get that going on all the time. We're not a model when we cave to that mentality. But we're always going to take the approach that when that book is open, it's the very word of God. We're a model when that's how we handle the scriptures. Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, and the ones who ended up becoming members of the church, they didn't sit there, well, that's a neat little message you got there, but I think it's your opinion. Read the text again. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. He had come there to preach the gospel of God, and that's exactly how they took it. And brethren, that's how we need to take it in our lives. When we read something in the New Testament, or anywhere in the Word of God for that matter, it is the very Word of God. And we're not going to slough it off as just being, well, that was for something a long time ago. 2,000 years ago, Paul had an opinion about this or that. No, it's the very Word of God. And when that is in our lives as a church, as a whole, we then become a model. Now, what did they do with that? When Paul came in Acts 17 and he preached the gospel of God and they accepted it as the Word of God and they accepted those conditions of repenting and being baptized into Christ. What happened next? Well, turn back with me to chapter 1 and we'll find out. They turned to God. They accepted the message as the Word of God and then they turned to God, for they themselves report concerning what manner of entering in we had unto you, that is, when we came to your city back in Acts 17, how you turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God. We become a model church, brethren, when our conversion, and that's what turning is, that's what repentance is, I'm going to get out of this life. Listen, when we turn to God, not my favorite preacher, not, well, I kind of like where the building is located, or I got my favorite preacher. No, we turn to God. That's true conversion. And we turn away from false idols, things that are going to take our attention away from serving God. It didn't say they were baptized because they're of their favorite preacher. I really love Brother So-and-so. Sometimes preachers are elevated. 1 Corinthians 1 through 3, they're elevated too high in my judgment. Well, my favorite preacher is this, or I follow him, or I follow that. We need to be turning to God. And that shows true repentance and conversion. But back up also to verse 8. Notice this. In fact, in the original text, the word toward is used both of faith in verse 8 and their turning in verse 9 and 10. But in every place your faith to God word is gone forth, the American Standard says. They took the word toward, the American Standard, and put that W-A-R-D on the end of God. God word. Literally, it's toward God. Their faith was toward God, and they turned, pros, toward God. I tell you, when that is your conversion, boy, you will be strong. Not just, well, I'm a Church of Christer. You know, I kind of pick Church of Christ. I sort of pick that, and my family was in that, and I kind of picked that. No, brethren, true turning to God, away from the things of the world. And that's where my faith is at. That's with whom my faith is. It's toward Him. And toward implies away from anything else in life that is going to distract us. Do you know why some churches are not model churches? They all come together and folks are dressed nice. You know, the guys got their suit and ties on and the ladies are dressed up and come in. But they've not turned away from things in the world. They still got worldliness in them. To turn toward God implies that you turn away from all that is false and wrong. And when we do that, brethren, as a church, all of us, we will be a model church. There won't be the... Somebody says, well, I don't want to become a Christian because there's hypocrites in the church. You know what? There are. The Bible talks about that. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 23. Other places, there are hypocrites. And that's what keeps people from becoming sometimes what they need to become. I don't think that's a good excuse. They shouldn't allow that. But often that's the excuse that they give. But we should not be like that. We should turn toward God and away from all this other. And when we do that, all of us, not some or most, but all of us, then we are completely focused on God and what is right. And those things will not be in our life. This was the work of John the Baptist in Luke 1:17 to get people to turn to God. This was the work of Paul in Acts 26 and 18 to get people to turn to God, not turn to your favorite preacher, not turn to the Church of Christ denomination, not turn to something earthly or man-made, but turn to God. Have we really done that? When we will, and when we do, we will be a model church. But then look what happened. What happened when they accepted the preaching as the Word of God, and then they turned to God? What happened? Well, turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 1. They became a church in God. Notice how Paul addresses them. Unto the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not what you read other places. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians, for example, or 2 Corinthians, they are described as the church of God. That involves possession, the church belonging, coming from God and belonging to God. That's not what he says here. He uses a different preposition. He says church in God. What is that? Well, that's a little bit different idea. What is that idea? It's when these brethren became a church, meaning a called out group. They are in God. They are in the realm of God. Their life is within His realm. What He wants for them. What He has for them. They are going to operate in God. Not like going literally in a room where God's right here and He's a room and you walk into God. Not in that sense, but in the sense of abiding in Him, in His Word and His example and what He wants for us, in His realm. Our whole life is taken up with God. God is not just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing. God's not a Sunday morning thing, and then when I go home on Sunday afternoon, I kind of do other stuff. But the church is in God 24/7. 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. We're in God. I tell you what, you get that mentality going on, boy, you are a model church. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're to have our minds set on things that are above each day, not just at the church service. But each day our minds are to be set on things that are above. And how does Paul describe the Christian life? For you died, and he's talking about spiritual death, when we were baptized into Christ, we put off that old man. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, everything about us is that, shall be manifest, then you shall also be with Him manifest in glory. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Notice that even the double description there of being hid with Christ. That means Christ is around us in God. That's a double figure there. All of our thoughts and our actions and our words, whatever God would have me to do. John talks about abiding in God and God abiding in us, 1 John 4:15 through 16. And Jude verse 1, the same idea. When we are thinking about our whole life is in God, Jude describes these to whom he is writing as beloved in God. That's our realm. That's our life. That's our total being. So they became a church in God. Well, what else? Well, turn with me to chapter 1. When they turned toward God, away from the things that were in the world, they didn't turn toward God then to do nothing. Their service was to God. Their daily service, their work in their family and in the various things that they had going on in their lives, their attitude was, I'm here to serve God. And so in verse 9, when they turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God, my service surrounds God. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm not going to serve the world. My service is to God. And when you back up to verse 3, Paul talks about their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. They were serving God every day. And yes, even in the things that we have to do to take care of our family and our young people going to school, and you get up tomorrow morning and you go to work, and there's different physical kinds of things like that that we have to do. But even in that, we're thinking in the back of our mind throughout the day, I'm serving God in my parenting and in my marriage and in my work and in my school. And if I'm not, then I need to start doing that. Churches that serve themselves are not a model. Churches that serve the world are not a model. Do you know that there are some churches out there that one of their, and they'll even describe it as a business model, and we're not a business. We're a spiritual family. We're not in a business. But they call it a business model. And you know what that business model is? It's to placate and pacify everybody around them. And I know that for a fact, because if you've ever seen any billboards like I have, or any kind of announcements on TV or other places advertising some denominations, they will describe themselves as, we are an affirming church. Have you heard that expression lately? An affirming church? I've heard it on the radio. I've seen billboards. I've seen other kinds of articles. We're an affirming church. In other words, you come here and we will let you be whoever you want to be. What they mean by that is you stay in your sin and we will affirm you. Affirm means hold you up. We need to be affirming the truth. But no, we're an affirming church. And boy, the building is cram-packed. Yeah. Because you get to go in there and sit down and just keep your life, and the leadership and the preacher and everybody, well, that's fine, come on in here. We're an affirming church. I heard a radio ad not long ago talking about that. Brethren, that's not our mission, to placate and pacify everybody's sin. Our model is to serve God. Serve God. Not serve mankind. You come in here and we'll give you whatever you want. Nope, that's not our model. That's not how Thessalonica became a model. They were there to serve God and not themselves and not the world. And notice, come with me to verse 10. Notice how service is also combined with patient waiting. They were serving God and waiting for, look at this, His Son. It's all about God. Waiting for His Son, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. It's a serving and patiently waiting for Jesus to come. That's our mission and model. Not to be an affirming church. If we're affirming anything, it should be the truth. But we don't affirm sin and worldliness and error and things like that. These passages on the PowerPoint deal with folks who turn to God, or were encouraging others to turn to God and serve Him, serve Him. We've had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience in order to what? Hebrews 9:14. To serve God. And let us be doing that. We've been cleansed so that we can serve God. Jesus offered Himself without blemish, and we remember that this morning in the Lord's Supper. To cleanse your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. And when we are busy doing that with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, not casually doing it, not just barely doing it, but putting our all into it, everybody from the leadership down, we will be a model church. Let's volunteer to serve. Let's encourage our children to serve. Let's be an example of service ourselves. That's what makes us who we need to be. And I put the two Revelation passages on there because do you know who God wants in heaven around His throne? Revelation 7:15, Revelation 22:3. You want to know who He wants around His throne? He wants people who are willing to serve Him. Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven, is serving God. So it starts now. We got to serve now. That's the kind of people He wants in heaven. And I know you want to be there. And I want to be there. Let's help each other to do that. But God wants serving people. And it starts today. And when Thessalonica did that, they became a model church. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. The other thing that made Thessalonica a model church is that they walked each day in order to please God. Not please themselves, not please the community around them, not please their culture, not please the Greeks and please the Romans and please the Jews, but please God. And we fight that so much today. So much today is about, well, I got to make people happy. No, your goal and mine is to make one person happy, and that's God. And so the text reads, finally, brethren, beloved, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. They were just simply living each day pleasing God by following His Word. Now, not everybody wants to do that. You might note back in chapter 2 and verse 15, there were some Jews that Paul was talking about that crucified Jesus. He said in 2:15 that they don't please God. Not everybody pleases God. But when they follow His will, verse 3, the will of God, you see that? And God is mentioned in verse 5, and God is mentioned in chapter 4, verse 7, and verse 8. It's all about God. Walking and pleasing God. That's why they were a model. It's not about pleasing mankind. When we live in the flesh, Romans 8 and verse 8, we cannot please God. When we live in the flesh, we cannot please God. And living in the flesh is not living in a physical body. It's living a worldly life. We cannot please God. And Paul said, am I pleasing God or man? Am I pleasing Christ or man? If I were pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul knew who to please, and it wasn't man. That's why he preached the way he did and acted the way he did. And so let's make up our minds that we're going to be pleasing. And look at chapter 2 and verse 15. We're going to walk each day worthily of God. Look at that, 2:15. Worthily of God. Not worthily of my standard. It's not my standard. It's not Chris's standard. It's not even the elder's standard for Warfield Boulevard. The standard for all of us is a standard that is worthily of God. We don't even set the standard. That standard is set in His Word. And we've got to come up to that level. To walk worthily means that there is a standard. There's an element here that you have to follow. There's a lifestyle that is worthily of God. It's a bar that is set by God, and it's a standard that's set by God, and we come up to that, and we can. He never sets it so high that we can't walk. And when we walk according to that standard, we're walking worthily of God. Oh, our friends may not care, and the world may not care, but we're pleasing God. And that's the main thing. And that's why they were a model. And you know what? Look at chapter 4 and verse 9. They were a model because they allowed themselves to be taught of God. Wow. To be taught of God. But concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Do you see how everything in their life revolves around God? And that's the way it needs to be for us today. Do you know, in order to be taught of God, we have to be teachable. Wasn't that true of us when we were in school? My father-in-law, who's here this morning, taught higher math for many years. He had students who were teachable. He had students that weren't teachable. And if you are a teacher here this morning, you've had that happen. You've had students who want to learn, and you've had students who don't want to learn. And just because the text says in chapter 4 and verse 9 that you are taught of God doesn't mean that today we're all taught of God, because sometimes people today don't want to be taught. They don't want to learn. Maybe because of pride. Maybe because they think they know it all. Maybe because they've been taught by somebody else and they don't want to be retaught. Who knows? But there are a number of reasons why people will not be teachable. Let's be teachable. Let's be someone who wants to learn. Let's be open to God's teachings, not man's ideologies. Let's be open to learning. I love to learn from others. I love to take notes and study and dig in and learn and read. Let's all be like that. We've got to be taught of God. And this was a church that allowed themselves to be taught of God on a regular basis. That's why, brethren, our Bible classes, and for adults, if we can be here, let's be here. The more we're taught of God, the better we are as a Christian. Somebody says, well, why come to Bible class? Right there. Why go to any class for that matter? Why go to school? Why go to any class? Some of you go to adult continuing education for your... Why do that? Why go to adult continuing education? Why do that? Why go to school? Why go to Bible class? Why come back on Wednesday night for Bible class? Why? Well, if there wasn't any benefit, there'd be no need to do it. But there's a great benefit to be taught of God. That's where it all starts for us. And that's where it continues on. John 6:45. God draws us to Him through teaching. And it begins that way and it continues all the way to the end of our life. And I love the psalmist. Parents, this is great. Grandparents, if we're starting over again, Psalm 71, verse 17. As much as possible, get our young people to be taught of God from their youth up. You will be so glad that you did that. We live in a world today where man's ideologies are thrust on you openly in all forms of media. There's no shyness about it anymore. It's out there. It's open. And they are blasting you on a regular basis with all kinds of evil and wicked man-made ideologies. We've got to counteract that with the Word of God. That's another reason why Bible classes are so important. And the psalmist says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Man. That is one of the most profound things, to be taught of God from our youth. Maybe you had that in your life, and you realize how blessed you are to have parents that taught, that had God teach you from your youth. I had that. And we can have that with our children and our grandchildren. And of course, we all know that my two grandsons are the greatest grandchildren that have ever lived. We all know that. And the last couple of weeks, they've been learning the hand motions to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. And acknowledge Him, and in all thy ways He will bless you. And they've got the hand motions and all that way is in my heart. You know, guide straight paths. They got all these hand motions going on. They'll teach you Proverbs 3, verse 5. And when I see that, I think, wow, what a great thing. And you have that with your children and your grandchildren, I'm sure. But I was taught from my youth. Let's be open and teachable as a Warfield Boulevard church, and we will be that model church. But when we close them out and shut them out, and I'm on my phone more than I'm in my Bible, and I'm on the internet more than I'm in my Bible, then we really cannot be a model church. There's a time and place for that other. But let's be open to constantly being taught. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 23. That we would go all our life, our entire relationship revolves around God all the way to the end, and I'm going to let Him sanctify me, set me apart in every aspect of my life, and the God of peace Himself sanctify, set you apart wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This God centered focus goes from the very beginning when the Word of God comes to me and I accept it as the Word of God and I'm converted, and all the way through to till Jesus comes again, I'm going to let God completely set me apart, spirit, soul, and body. My inward man and my outward man. My mind and my heart and my life and my physical body. However you want to describe those words, spirit and soul, and the small distinctions that are between those two, Paul is simply saying your entire being. But look at it. Set apart and sanctify. Not just parts of me, but every aspect of my life. Some people will keep their body really clean. They're real health addicts, and boy, my body's got, you know, eat right and diet and exercise, but then their mind is not clean. Some people really guard their mind, but not their body, and so alcohol and drugs and other kinds of things they're putting in their body. It's got to be both. Every aspect of our life has to be clean and pure and holy and set apart for God. And when we're like that, we will be a model. We will be a model. And that's the church that Jesus wants. I close with Ephesians chapter 5. That Jesus wants a church that is cleansed with the washing of water, that's baptism, with the Word, that's obedience to the gospel, that He might present the church to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And God wants to set us apart and sanctify us wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, the whole thing. And when we let God take care of 100% of all of us, inward and outward, then we will be a model church. You became a model, Paul said, and now we've learned why. Their entire world revolved around God. And when we'll do that today, we can be that model here in Clarksville. You know, I want people to look to God, absolutely. But the other thing that God wants people to look at is a local church in a community. He wants us, the church, to be that model. Let's go out this week and do that. As a child of God, if we've not been that, and we need to make some changes, do that, please. It takes all of us working together to have these dispositions and these attitudes. And as a Christian, if I need to change something, maybe that's not been my life in the past, let today be the day you change. Or if you need to be baptized into Christ, let today be that day that you make that change. But let's go out. It takes all of us. Let's all work together to show this community the light. They need it so much. We're here to give them that light. Let's be that model. And if I can assist you in some way in making your life right, why won't you come as we stand and sing?